Wondering what's the buzz? Then tune into Happy Hours for your dose of all that matters. The exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media. Podcaster for India Inc.
Now, here's a question that we really like to ask all of our special guests on Happy Hours. Really not a happy thing when you look back into the past. A failure can never be that when it's happening to you. But the lessons, of course, I'm sure you're grateful for some of them. So if you were to share with our listeners some of the biggest failures you've encountered in life and what you really took away from those experiences, it would be invaluable to us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like anybody else, I have had my share of failure. On both personal and in my work front. Let me share with you the one big failure, very, very big failure of my life was, you know, the circumstances under which I left my previous employer after 29 years with them and having run two companies in that group. You know, I was... suddenly pitchforked into a situation where, you know, I had to leave that group. And, you know, my whole world collapsed. My sense of self-respect and self-worth collapsed. And I was angry and I was confused and I was full of fear and anxiety and self-doubt. And, but fortunately, I would say very, very fortunately, in my immediate family, you know, my father, my mother, they were alive, my wife, my children, they very quickly made me realize that, you know, feeling a victim where, you know, what had happened to me was because of somebody else was not the right way to handle it. So there was an epiphany that I had after maybe about... 15-20 days of seething in anger and following in self-pity and being angry with the one person who I held responsible for whatever happened to me. I realized that I was not the victim, but I was really the creator of whatever had happened to me. And that shift from being the effect of other forces to being the cause of what was happening in my life suddenly gave me a huge sense of responsibility and of power. And then, you know, I started focusing on, okay, so what now? What do I do now? How do I recreate my life? What are the possibilities that will open up? And no time now to wallow in pity and to just... ask why has this happened to me and why me, which is a kind of questions that I was wallowing in. And lo and behold, things worked out, and you know, I was really lucky. I came into the assignment that I did in my in my last role, and perhaps the last 16 years have been among the best years of my life, personally and professionally. But it needed that huge, big jolt. It needed that failure. It needed that to jerk me out of the comfort zone, if you like, that I had got used to. And it actually opened up my life. But if I had not had that moment of shift from being the victim to being the creator of my life, it would have been difficult, because then I would not have been open to new possibilities. I would not have taken the risk that was required. And of course, there is always, I think, element of karmic destiny. We don't know anybody what that destiny is. So it's not a very operational term. But it gave me some kind of a, if you like, philosophical and psychological compass that I used and which I often use. And, you know, there are three statements there, and I'll just quickly list them out to you.
Yeah.
The first one says, whatever happened was the only thing that could have happened. No matter what I did or did not do, no matter what anyone else did or did not do. So what happened is the only thing that could have happened. That's statement number one. Statement number two, by the way, what happened is the best thing that could have happened to me. Mm-hmm. I may not be aware of it, I may not think so, but it's the best thing that could have happened to me. And number three, most important, what has happened has happened. So if I look at these three statements together, and I stumbled upon these three at that time in 2003, 2004, and I think that has provided me a good psychological and philosophical framework to be able to deal with situations which have been adverse. So this is one example that I came to my mind, and I thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah. Were there any other turning points? You know, this clearly seems to have, I mean, we can tell that there's a lot of introspection in Rajiv Dubey that has made him who he is. Is there anything else that you think was perhaps a life-changing moment for you?
Well, I mean, if I just look back, one life-changing moment for me was when I decided to go to Yale after having worked for 5 years with the Tatars. And much against the wishes of my then boss, a gentleman called Mr. Rusi Modi, who was the managing director of Tata Steel. I, you know, after having worked for 5 years, decided that I needed to go and get myself an MBA. I had studied economics, and I did not have an MBA when I was selected for the TAS. And I had this great feeling that I needed to pick up an MBA. It was a very bold decision at that time for me, because I took it despite the objections of my super boss at that time.
Right.
And but I think it completely, again, reopened my view of myself and of the world. It was not an easy thing. It was a very difficult 2 years for me. But when I came back, it completely opened up a whole new life. So that was definitely a turning point. Like that, there have been many, many turning points which had to do with the decisions that were taken, where I had to go deep into my inner space to be able to take business decisions. Some of them worked, some of them did not work. Sometimes the thing that had worked in the past, when I tried to repeat it, it didn't work in a new situation. And so always there was this balancing of hope with fear, of wondering, you know, how much logic is to be used versus how much intuition, how much empathy, and how much cold-blooded decision-making. So all these opposites and ups and downs have been there. And they happen all the time. You know, it's not that they don't happen all the time. Some of them have to do with the personal events, you know, especially if there has been a very serious illness in the family. You know, what that does to you in terms of realizing what is important in life, or how you treat other people. So, you know, I think there is learning in almost everything. But I gave you two dramatic incidents or events. But actually, I think there is learning and there is shifts that take place all the time.
Yep, a continuum of nows, as you rightly put it. Well, now is also a time, I would imagine, to infuse or look at things optimistically. And Rajiv, you've always been associated, you've always been seen as a leader whose outlook has been most positive. In fact, Mahindra Rise was born of this need for positive change, to create something of shared value, something that benefits both the organization and the employee. So if you could tell us why creating this sort of shared value space has been very important to you.
So, you know, I think I talked about purpose, and this whole Mahindra Rise is rooted in the core purpose of the organization, which is essentially to drive positive change in the lives of our stakeholders and communities to enable them to rise. And obviously, we want to rise at the same time through outperforming businesses. So, it is RISE is all about a purpose which is able to combine something which is higher order, that is driving positive change, but doing that through outperforming businesses.
Right.
It actually makes the assumption that there is infinite possibility or potential in every person and in every situation. And the job of leaders and of organizations is to unleash that potential towards the objectives that are there, but doing it in a manner which is driving positive change. So it is this purpose of positive change that has given rise to a lot of behaviors and a lot of processes and systems and structures, all of which are about empowering people, unleashing their potential, but doing it in a way that drives positive change. This is, if you like, telling people that, look, it's possible to do great business and yet be good human beings who are responsible, who do not have to take and deprive others, but can actually create what we call shared value.
Right.
Right, which is good for all those who are there. Now, this, of course, is an ideal situation. You know, you don't always get a 10 on 10. And it has clearly to be taken down from the 30,000 feet description that I have given into the nuts and bolts of all the HR levers. But above all, it is about behavior. How do people behave in their everyday life? Do they behave in a manner that ultimately is driving positive change? But doing that in a business setting.
Quick shots.
Time to shift gears on Happy Hours and move into something fun, Rajiv. I hope you're ready and game for a round of rapid-fire questions.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. Your passion.
Making a positive difference in every action that I take.
A book you think everyone must read before they turn 40.
How to Stop Worrying and Start Living.
Best career advice you've ever received.
Be yourself. Focus on the work that you are doing. Do it well and don't worry too much about success or about your future 10 years later.
Okay. A household chore that you absolutely abhor.
Abhor? Oh, I thought you would say that you absolutely love.
Love. I could ask you that as well. You can give us both.
Yeah. No, I actually love all household chores, from washing dishes to helping out the people in the family. I just think it's a great source of joy and relaxation.
Okay. Then
so
it's
no
all
household chore that I abhor.
You're the ideal person for a work from home situation that we're all going through in that case, Rajiv. But the new normal in one sentence.
Continuous change, but which requires people to be open to all possibilities.
An alternate career of your dreams.
To become the Prime Minister of India.
No theatre, Rajiv. I was hoping you'd say something like that.
Yeah, well, to be the Prime Minister, you have to be everything, including theatre.
Absolutely. If you were to travel back in time and give your own 15-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
Enjoy whatever you are doing and make sure that you do that which you enjoy and not worry too much about succeeding.
Okay. What is the one thing that you believe uniformly makes people happy?
Seva. To be of help to others.
Right. On a Saturday evening, Rajiv Dubey is most likely to be
at home, having done an hour of yoga and then sitting with the family.
Okay.
Maybe watching a movie or just chatting or playing some game.
Okay. A subject that you did not like particularly in school?
Chemistry.
Chemistry. Okay. Your hometown.
You know, I was born in Patna, but I grew up in Delhi. So I guess Delhi is my hometown.
Yeah. What do you miss most from your childhood?
Autumn evenings in Delhi, spent around a Havan Kund with the rest of my family on the terrace of our home, Rajendra Prasad Road.
I'm just going to leave everybody with that, you know, mental imagery that you've created for us, Rajeev. You almost invited us to that place when you said that. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us on Happy Hours today, and wish you and everyone in your family and teams the very best. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Sheetal. Wonderful questions. I truly enjoyed and I struggled to answer your questions.
Thank you so much, Rajeev.
Welcome.
Wondering what's the buzz? Then tune in to Happy Hours for your dose of all that matters. The exclusive HR podcast by NHRDN in partnership with Timber Media. Podcaster for India Inc.